Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Wow! That's all I got for you. Seriously, I'm punching out. Got my time card. Put it in the old thing. Have you ever used a time card, actually, Carlos? Like a physical time card? Like a punch
I don't
card.
Think so.
I did when I worked at a cop's grocery store. So you couldn't really cheat the system on the time card.
Yeah, no, at any place I worked, it was either the honor system or just clocking on the computer, and I manipulated the time slots.
Oh, every time that I've had to enter a time on the computer, I have manipulated the time. Although there was one place I worked at that my job was on the computer, so they knew when you logged in. So that kind of sucked. But if you had to go to a website and then fill in, I mean, I always gave the 15 back, 15 front. I mean, you got to do that. You know, you got to do that. Okay? Nobody at the top knows what you're doing. It makes a big difference to you. Little office space kind of accounting for the pennies that are being deleted. And that's how we start the show. The Knicks beat the Celtics in game one. That was pretty crazy. The Knicks were down 20 points in game one, and the Celtics shot terribly from three. And there was really no way that the Knicks should have come back in that game. None. But they had some great defense down the end. The Celtics couldn't really shoot that much in the fourth quarter. And then Mikal Bridges made a great defensive play to end the game. That was game one. That also just happened again. All of it. Even the mispronunciation and confusion of the Bridges guys. It all happened again. Everything happened again. The Knicks were down 20 points again. 73-53. They were down 20 points again. And they came back and won again. And Jalen Brunson, I'll add that in there, made some clutch shots again, and it was Mikal Bridges with a big defensive play at the end, again blocking Jason Tatum from the backside. It's improbable what we are seeing right now in these NBA playoffs. Six games in round two. All six games being won by the road teams. Now, there's another game that just started, and it is pretty ugly if you're a Nuggets fan. You're up 1-0 in this series. You're down 38-16 in this game. But who are we to say that it's over? Who are we to say that it's over? Not with the way these games have been going. The Cavaliers last night, with 48 seconds to go, had a win percentage of 97.4, a 97.4 win probability. The Cavaliers last night. The Celtics tonight had a 98.3 win probability in the middle of the third. So they were more likely to have won this game than even the Cavaliers were last night. I saw a Cavs fan online say, could be worse. We're down 0-2, but at least we're not down 0-2 with a completely healthy team, as the Boston Celtics are. Really just an insane start to this series. And now I'm keeping my eye on this Thunder-Nugget series, because the more I'm talking about the improbability of what has happened and how crazy it is that every road team has won so far. It's now 40-16. I mean, the Thunder are going to walk away with this one, but you still can't say that. You still can't say that, because it's not just like we're getting close games. You know, it'd be one thing if we were just getting close games, but we are getting games that are being decided late, and games that are being won by teams coming back from pretty big deficits. So far, six games in round two. All six games won by the road team. Sunday night, we saw the Cavaliers lose to the Pacers. Ended up being a 9-point game. Pacers were able to start to pull away in the last minute or two. But then Monday is when it got super chaotic because the Knicks, again, down 20, able to force their way into overtime. The Nuggets were down big, and they looked like they had no shot to win. And then the Thunder started fouling up three. They lost. Tuesday night, Warriors able to beat the Timberwolves without Steph Curry, and the Pacers crawled back to beat the Cavaliers in another improbable finish after they were down double-digit points right away. So, yeah, it's 40-18 right now, Oklahoma City against Denver. But it was 32-15 after one between the Cavs and the Pacers. So, I any other time, I would probably say this one's in the books. And you thought for sure, like, tonight felt like, and here's some backstory. One thing I've said about myself is that I'm very good at watching the NBA playoffs. Now, that what does that even mean? Well, what it means is I feel like I do a good job of not getting too high with the highs and low with the lows. I think there's a lot of overreaction when you see a team win in game one. Sometimes these road teams win in game one, and they end up losing in five. You know, sometimes a team goes up 2-1. I remember an NBA Finals series where the Cavs were up on the Warriors 2-1. And Matthew Dellavedova, remember him? He was stopping Steph Curry. Steph couldn't do anything off of Delly. And it looked like, okay, the Cavs are going to be laser-focused in winning this series. And then the Warriors had no problem, and they came back, and they won it. And Dellavedova's impact was non-existent really the rest of the way. There's time in between games. We get kind of hyped up. We get kind of excited. And we talk ourselves into thinking that something's going to happen that we know it's not going to happen. So I think even as crazy as these first games have been, we've thought, okay, the road teams won every game in round two, the first game in round two for the first time ever. That's never happened before. There's been seven times where it's happened 3 out of 4 times, but it's never happened where all teams have won the first 4 games, certainly not the first 5, certainly not the first 6. So in a lot of these series, you think, well, this will be the course correction. This will be the course correction. Now, the Cavs are a little iffy because they had some injuries. And that is a concern for Cleveland. You know, they do need to probably hit the panic button. And, you know, if my toe was not needing to be deamputated, I guess would be the process to put it back on. You almost got to find a way to get out there. I mean, I know these guys are hurt. You can't go down 3-0. The series then is over. So they got it. They got to get this game 3 coming up in Indianapolis. But with tonight felt very much like, okay, it's the 1-seeded Thunder. It's the 2-seeded Celtics. The Celtics are basically the, like, proverbial third number one seed in this tournament. As good as the Thunder are and as good as the Cavs are, we have seen the Celtics dominate. We've seen them turn it on. We're not thinking that they aren't one of the premier elite teams. Everybody's already penciled them into the finals, beating the Cavs to get there. I even ran into a guy, I'm not kidding, I ran into a guy at a book fair tonight. So the school has a book fair that my kid goes to, and they go throughout the week. But then there's also like a parents can come to the book fair. And you don't want you got to give your kid money for the book fair. Otherwise, everybody else is buying books and he isn't. But then you feel like you got to come to this book fair. Otherwise, you're not a part of the thing. So he's like doubling up. And I've noticed this with kids. If you give them like, hey, $25, you know, they might not know what that is. Hey, you get 2 items. Here's a whole store. Select 2 items. That is a huge mistake. They will never do that. My kid put away things a million times, and then he wanted what his friend wanted. And after 45 minutes of being in this gym, we ended up walking out with the stuff that he had picked originally and put back 5 minutes in. So choices are maybe good for children. A multitude of choices, not so much. But we saw one family who the guy is from Boston. He's from the Boston area. He likes his Boston teams. And I don't know that he is watch every game of the NBA season super fan. He's certainly okay with going to the book fair in game two of this series. And I said, hey, Celtics are on. You're not taping it? I'm going to check the score here. And he said, oh, no, this will be one of those games. They, like, win by 20. I mean, this is we. And I agreed with him. Because that's what we've seen a million times. You see a team lose game one that's supposed to be the better team that then comes back and wins game two and does it with a breeze. And for much of the game, he was right. And I was right. At the middle of the third quarter, I think everybody was right. Oh, okay, they're down 20 points. Good on the Knicks. They were able to split the series in Boston. Now you're going to go back to New York. You're going to want to make sure you can, split the series there and get this thing tied up, keep it tied up, coming back to Boston. I think in the middle of the third quarter, that had to be where many Knicks fans' heads were at. Now, the diest of the diehards, the diehardiest, or the most optimistic, or even the most, like, blissfully optimistic, almost in a naive way, you'd say, oh, no, we came back from 20 down the other day. We can do it again. Well, if you're going to do it again, you need, out of Boston, some really ridiculous things to occur. Boston, who was 15 of 60 the other night from three, you need them to struggle again from three tonight. They ended up going 10 for 40, another 25% clip. So far, they are 25 for 100. There is no way that you should be taking 100 threes over the course of two games if you're only making one out of every four, especially if you're only making one out of every four. And the other wild thing that they needed to happen was they needed to, when you're down like 12 points or 14, I've heard enough of the local announcers try to will their teams back in. You say, we just need a stop and a score, and then, maybe another stop and a score. You're like bargaining with yourself, trying to negotiate how you can get back into this game. The Boston Celtics hit a shot with 8:46 on the clock. It was a Peyton Pritchard three. It was actually at the 8:40 mark. So at the 8:40 mark in this game, in the fourth quarter, Peyton Pritchard had hit a three. That made the score 84 to 68. Okay? The next time the Celtics converted on a field goal, so any non-free throw shot, was at the 18-second mark to make the score 90-89. So Peyton Pritchard made this three at the 8:40 mark to go up 16 points. The next time they made a field goal was when Jason Tatum went coast-to-coast, hit a dunk to go back up one. That's nearly 8.5 minutes without making a shot in game four at, or in game two in the fourth quarter at home of a game that you had a 20-point lead in. The Knicks take a timeout, set up a play. Jalen Brunson gets fouled. He makes both shots. They're up 91-90. Celtics have the last opportunity. Celtics have the last chance. They got a timeout. They're going to take the ball up the court. It's in Jason Tatum's hands. Jason Tatum goes kind of off the baseline from the corner, puts up a shot, defended well, knocked away from the back by Mikal Bridges. And the Boston Celtics lose and are down 0-2 in this series. It hardly looks like the same team that won a championship a season ago, that's for sure. And this is where we get back to the discussions around Jason Tatum. Like, in that Celtics bubble, and it can include whoever you want, fans, the team, Celtics media, national media that enjoys the Celtics, they've got this view of Jason Tatum that he is the face of the league, and why doesn't everybody else see it? That he is not just the face of the league, like the most marketable, but he is the best player. You should be the MVP, and he should be the MVP every single year. What's going on? And in the playoffs, last year, there were some games where he left a lot to be desired. Even in the NBA Finals, that MVP award did not go to him. It went to Jaylen Brown. This year in the playoffs, he's 8-22 right away against the Magic, 1-for-8 from 3, misses game 2, but then follows it up with 36, 37, 35. Okay, there he is. There's the Jason Tatum that we should be expecting. In this series, it has been rough. It has been very bad. As if that's that Tatum that you saw in that last series, in those last three games, didn't even exist. First game, he was 7-23, including 4-15 from 3. Tonight, he was 5-19, 1-5 from 3. And these shots, the selection, the threes are so deep. The twos are misguided. It's just, it doesn't look like he's got the confidence. I mean, I hate always going back to the Space Jam Monstars, but it looks like he got monstarred a little bit, like his talent got sucked out of him. Now, will he follow that back up with a 40-point game 3? I mean, this is the unpredictability of the Celtics. But the Knicks now, who in the middle of the third quarter had to be thinking, okay, let's split here, let's split at home, they need to win 2 more times, and they've got 5 games to do it. The Celtics need to win 4 times in those 5 games. So you go back now to New York and you split, you got 3 chances to close that thing out. And I'm sure if I know New York fans like I think they do, or that I do, whatever, if we go 1-1 and then we go, 2-2, whatever thoughts those were have already morphed into, could we sweep the Celtics? Do you think it's even going to go back to Boston? I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Take your thoughts on the NBA action. That is, look a little more about what happened last night. Got some NFL to get into tonight. There was a trade. It involved the Cowboys. So we'll get a good, how much time do we got left? 3.5 hours out of that. Plenty more to get to along the way as well. 888-710-4ISN. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
What is insane, as you hear the final call on the Knicks Radio Network, Knicks win 91-90, is we're seeing a start to this playoffs unlike anything we've ever seen before, where the road teams all have won the first game in round 2. And I say start to these playoffs, it does kind of feel like we went up a level here. Like we had the play-in, and then we had the first round, but with the insanity of this round, it does feel like people are saying, oh, what is this? What's happening? How is this good? Where has this been? We're seeing something we've never seen before in the second round. Also, we're seeing things happen multiple times that are improbable. The Pacers, and I won't cry about them tonight. I've taken my medicine on that. The Pacers, they were down 7 last week against Milwaukee with a minute to go, and they somehow came back and won the game. And then they were down 7 with 48 seconds to go against Cleveland, and they came back and won the game. That's something that's only happened 7 points, less than a minute to go, 3 times in the last 30 years. And the Pacers have done it twice in the last week. Okay, and then this Knicks-Celtics game followed the same script. Obviously in Boston, Celtics in control. Celtics up 20 points. Knicks come back. Brunson hit some big shots. Celtics can't hit threes. Tatum can't be clutch. Mikal Bridges, big defensive play. Game one, he stole it. In game two, he knocked it out of Tatum's hands. OG Anunoby providing some coverage in front. Bridges was on the backside. Tatum unaware. It's insane that we've seen this now, these two games, where the underdog has won both games. They've won it in the same fashion, where in both games they've been down, and they've been down big. They followed the same exact script. So really remarkable stuff. Now, we are flying high on this. NBA fans, I think, are flying high. Even if one of the teams that you don't like is one of the teams that are winning. Because this is just incredible. This is just great basketball. It's exciting stuff. It's unpredictable. You're seeing the underdogs win. A big problem, I would think, with the NBA playoffs is a lot of times the top seeds do kind of just coast. And maybe Boston comes back. You know, maybe the Cavs come back. But if they do now, it's going to be a hell of a series. It's going to be thrilling no matter what happens. Now, the other game happening now, and I keep checking on this, the Thunder are nearly doubled up of the Nuggets. It's 64-38 with 6 minutes to go. That's how I thought these games would go tonight, where the team that lost the other night, Boston being one of them, and they were up 20, and then Oklahoma City tonight, they say, okay, screw this. We got to get this out of our system. We gotta get the poison out here. We gotta make right, even this thing up, and beat the hell out of this team and let them know that we're the favorite. But if you're somebody that, like, bet on the Thunder, either 11.5-point favorite tonight, I mean, are you even comfortable right now? Even if they go into the half up 30 points. We've seen crazier things already. So Knicks get the 91-90 win over the Celtics. Tom Thibodeau, after the game, says this is a team we found a way again.
That's the playoffs. You got to keep fighting. Every possession matters, and you got to play all 48 minutes. And so we started slowly, got in a big hole, dug our way out, and then guys made a lot of tough plays. They were at their best when their best was needed down the stretch.
What I like about this Knicks team is that it's a lot of guys that have been almost discarded other places, where it's guys that were traded away, you know, maybe thought as afterthoughts or not a part of the future, whether it's Bridges or Anunoby or Karl Anthony Towns or Jalen Brunson. You know, credit the Knicks for bringing all these guys in, Tom Thibodeau being the sort of leader of that. But this team is finding its collective sort of, I don't want to say voice, but I will. And they're a battle-tested team. And what I had said about game one is maybe the Knicks won't come back and win this series. Or maybe the Knicks won't win the series at all. But to win that way is big. Because how they won in game one, they were down 20. And they came back and won. And so if that were to happen again, the Knicks know that they can do it again. And they did it again. I mentioned this is a team. They came from a lot of different places. Obviously, there's the Villanova connection, and You know, it's sad that Dante DiVincenzo's not there, but we see him plenty either on the Timberwolves or on that commercial that runs every 5 minutes. But this is a team, according to Coach Tibbs, that believes in one another.
You get to the playoffs, it's about really your mental toughness, your defense, and your teamwork, and always having the belief that you could do something better and you could find a way to win, right? So it's a long game, keep playing, and that's what they did.
Now, being up 2-0 does not mean you won the series.
It's a series, but you have to focus on the game that you're playing. You know, what is it going to take to win that game? So we know each game, right, there's going to be more force and more aggression in it, and we have to be ready for that. And so all we have to do is make sure that we're focusing on what it's going to take to win game three.
Yeah, I remember one time Chris Paul was up 2-0 in an NBA Finals, and LeBron James tweeted, two down, two to go, and then the Suns never won another game in that entire Finals. So there still is a long way to go, but you'd much rather be up 2-0 than any other option. You'd much rather that. Joe Mazzulla, head coach of the Boston Celtics, watched this one slip away. They did not score a field goal for 8 minutes and 20 seconds. So what happened at the end of that game, Joe?
They made every play, and like I said, even you know, throughout the end of that third, the fourth quarter, I thought we generated some good looks. And then I thought we had some live ball turnovers, and they took advantage of it. So they made the necessary plays to win. We put ourselves in position to do that, and we just didn't make the plays.
Celtics had an opportunity. There was 12 seconds on the clock. Plenty of time to come up the court and look for a shot. You could call timeout advance to half court. Celtics never took a timeout. I thought maybe they'd come up, see what they had, then call a timeout. They never called a timeout. Joe Mazzulla on keeping that one in his pocket.
I had one left, got a good look on the exact same play 20 seconds earlier, tried to execute the exact same thing. They did a better job of their lower pickup point, and we weren't able to get the advantage that we had on that on the last Tatum dunk. So good full court setting. They subbed out Towns, weren't able to sub out Brunson, had action there, and we just didn't execute.
Let me ask, Marco Belletti's here with the updates, and I would say that if I put myself in the headspace of a Knicks fan, I would think that with being down 20 points in the third quarter, I would be thinking, okay, that's fine. We're in Boston. We're going to go back with a split. Let's go to New York, maybe split again. Let's just keep this train rolling. I would also think that there were some Knicks fans that are either naive enough or stupid enough or brilliant enough to think, hey, we were just down 20 points the other night. There's plenty of time left. At what point for you as a Knicks fan did you think, oh my God, they're actually going to pull this off again?
You know, I was actually okay throughout most of the game because neither one of them could make a shot, and that the more the game was mucked up, the better it is for the Knicks. When it got to 18 and a timeout and then 20, like right after that, I was like, yeah. But once they cut it to 14 or so late in the third, I was still, let's go. I don't know. Maybe it was naive. Maybe I was nuts. But I felt like the Celtics weren't playing well at all. They weren't knocking down shots. And as bad as the Knicks were that they couldn't find a shot, that's kind of where they want them. And the more that the game could be somewhat in shouting distance, the more confidence grew in me.
This is going to be wild to watch game three. And I'm looking at ticket prices, which good luck if you like money. I think the lowest that I'm seeing is, and this may have gone up, but it's like $650 just to sit nosebleed right now.
I would pounce on that. I got a feeling that's going to go up.
Yeah. Well, it's already been going up throughout the night, I think. Game three is going to be Saturday afternoon. And that's going to be, yeah, in the Garden. Because then the night game is going to be Timberwolves and Warriors, which I don't know if it's going to be as big of a draw without Steph, but that's what they decided. So this is what is they're going with. Game three is going to be a crazy atmosphere. I think for the Celtics, they're still the Celtics, but to blow 20-point leads two games in a row, like now I think that self-doubt that maybe they've been able to block off because of how talented and good they are. I mean, there can't be any lead that they get at any point that they got to feel comfortable with. And New York, I mean, these people aren't paying $600 to sit in the nosebleeds to watch a game. They're not paying $1,200 to sit seven rows up to watch a game. They are paying this amount of money to impact the game, to be screaming at these Celtics this entire time. This may be, I would predict or have to think, one of the most, like, with all the settings, like, the least desirable setting to play in as a road team that we've seen in the NBA in a long, long time.
You're right, but I will throw this back at you. And this is something where it's a cautionary tale for game three. The Knicks are better on the road than they are at the Garden. And the Celtics are better on the road than they are at home. So it's weird, but the Celtics, I feel like, are going to be a little bit more comfortable on the road, as hostile as it's going to be. But because the Knicks have a tendency to not play well at home and the Celtics have a tendency to knock down shots, they could find themselves up big. Now, that means the crowd will stay in it because they've come back from 20-point deficits in the first two games. But don't be surprised if second quarter, it feels like the crowd's almost turning on the Knicks because they want to go there and smoke blood. They want the Knicks to annihilate them and take the thing from the opening jump. If it goes the other way, which you would think law of averages because the Celtics are good, because they play well on the road, and because the Knicks have a tendency to not play well when they, you know, prosper. They're better with their backs up against the wall. It'll be a weird dynamic. I want to see where the crowd is in the third quarter if the Knicks are down 14 but not showing the same life that they showed in the fourth quarter of these two games.
Yeah, if I was a Celtics fan or like a Celtics radio guy, I would be harping on, look, we lost by a combined 4 points, and we've missed 75 threes. So we know what kind of team this is. They will be able to turn that corner. Yeah, it sucks that we're down 2-0, but I would still try to find the belief in what I think should be the better team. Are Knicks fans, I mean, you seem like you're not. I'm conditioned over the course of my life now that I need the final whistle to blow, and then I needed to, like, wake up the next morning to make sure I'm not dreaming before I celebrate any series win. Are you that kind of fan, or are we getting a little, like, just at least, you know, thinking ahead a little bit? Like, what am I going to be doing mid-May here?
I haven't yelled and screamed for a game by myself like that in a really, really long time. I haven't felt this. I don't even know what this is. This energy that is pulsating from head to toe in my body. And I said to Carlos before, and I was half kidding, but I'm really more telling the truth. My blood pressure is so high right now, I'm actually a little bit dizzy. I'm having a hard time focusing. That's how pumped up I am. Because I did not think that the Knicks would win this series. Game one was like, now there's a chance. There's a chance. There's a chance. This, getting this, which I, that's part of my reaction was, you can get this, you can get over the top. And no disrespect to the Cavs or the Pacers, this is the series for the Knicks to be able to get through the East. I know that in my brain. I know that in my heart. So the idea that they could be this close to knocking off the Celtics and possibly playing in an NBA Finals with, again, I've said this all year, the best offensive Knicks team that I've seen in my lifetime, Bart, I'm pumped. I haven't had this much energy running through my fat old ass in a really long time. And right now, I feel like I could run through the wall. So if you're asking me if I gotten giddy, I'm past that. We're moving on to, I don't even know where the hell I am right now, and I can't even see straight. So let's just see if I can get through the night before driving into a tree because my blood pressure's too friggin' high.
All right, well, I think doing updates every, you know, half hour that you're doing them is a good way to kind of get the baseline back.
So. I want to go streaking through the streets of New York.
Well, you could do that at any time. Just come back in here at the 38 part of every hour so I can eat up a minute and a half of my show. And that's what we'll do now. That's Marco Belletti, big Knicks fan. They're up 2-0. Knicks are up 2-0. Pacers are up 2-0. One of those teams has to come back, right? Celtics and Cavs both can't be losing in this series, right? It's just who is that going to be, or maybe neither of them come back. With an update on everything going on, including why Marco can barely breathe, here is Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokely! Wow! Touchdown! Denver! Unbelievable!
The biggest voices in sports.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
The heartbreak.
Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs.
The celebrations.
And it takes the knee of the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions. And Tom Coughlin and the Big Blue erase all of their doubters. They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It is the Bulletin Blitz. Happy hump day, everybody. It is Wednesday, May 7th, 2025. Bulletin Blitz on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network. From the left coast to the best coast. I'm kidding. I love all you Westers also. Stop me if you heard this before, Bart. But the Knicks were down 20.
20 points.
20 points to the Boston Celtics. And they came back to win again. This one by the final score of 91-90. Mikal Bridges, another defensive gem at the end of the game. This time, coming off the blind side of Jason Tatum, swatting the ball away as Tatum's attempting a shot. Tosses it down the court. Time expires. Bridges says it wasn't just him on the final defensive stop on the game, though.
It's a hell of a job with Mitch and OG. You know, guarding pick and roll. And Mitch running him off the line, playing good defense, and then OG even helping him out. And then just trying to re-react, and, you know, so OG make him take a tough step back and just try to help him try to win a game.
It was 5 first-round picks for him, that's right, for the Knicks to acquire.
Season Newer.
So I think this is going to be one thing that right now it's like, oh, screw them picks. You know, this is great. We just got 2 defensive stops. But then if there's a game or 2 games where he struggles, then we'll be like, well, is he really worth that many picks? I say that because that's what we've been doing with Rudy Gobert during these playoffs. It's like, oh, he was worth all those picks. And I mean, all these picks. So it's a lot of picks. But when you trade that many picks, you're trading for these kind of moments. 2 great defensive stops in 2 straight games. Incredible stuff from Mikal Bridges up to this point.
Yeah, but it couldn't happen without another collapse by Boston. Again, they were up by 20. It's literally the exact same thing that happened on Monday. It's what happened today in Game 2. So now they head to New York City, MSG, down 2 games. Joe Mazzulla, how are you going to be able to bounce back after another heartbreaking loss?
I mean, you just take a look at it, figure out where you have to be better, and you know, put a full 48 minutes together. So I have an understanding that it's going to be difficult, but you know, that's why we do what we do, and figure out where we have to get better and do that.
Yeah, as excited as New York is, it's hard to think that the Celtics are just going to go out this easy. And I would look at those 25 three-pointers they made out of 100 and say the tide will turn. So we'll see how things go. When you've got a team on the ropes like this, and I've said this before, and it sounds stupid, but it's how it goes. Game 3 is massive. You win game 3, you got 4 at-bats to get a single, okay? The longer you keep the Celtics breathing and give them life, the more likely the pendulum will swing their way. So we say step on their throat. You got to do everything you can to get that win in game 3 and try to finish this thing off. Otherwise, they will find a way.
Yeah, do not let them breathe. I mean, obviously, nobody thought New York sweep coming into this series, but if you can do it, don't give it a chance to go back to Boston. Let's go to the Western semifinals here. The Golden State Warriors, they get a win over the Minnesota Timberwolves, but at what cost? 99-88 your final there, but Steph Curry, he's going to be missing a week. After the game, Steve Kerr said that they were definitely planning a game plan without him for game 2 on Thursday anyway.
We're definitely game planning for him to not be available on Thursday, but we don't know yet. But with a hamstring, it's hard to imagine that he would play Thursday.
Yeah, they're probably going to not have him for they're not going to check on him again for another week. So it's going to be game 2, as we talked about last night, probably game 3 and 4, almost definitely. And then I still don't know about game 5. They got to right now focus on trying to win this series without him. And what is that going to mean? You're going to need more Jimmy Butler. You're going to need more Draymond Green. You're going to need more Buddy Hield. but this series got a whole lot tougher for Golden State without their leader.
Yeah, and what else they can need? They need Timberwolves to be ice cold shooting like they did in game one. Anthony Edwards said, hey, bad shooting from all of us.
Just keep shooting. I mean, yeah, that's the name of the game. Can't worry about the last shot. You know, shoot, take the next one. Shoot it with confidence. And I think we've been doing that. Like Jim said, I think we just didn't play well today. And, you know, people going to try to blame whatever, blame whoever. They can blame me. I just didn't play good enough.
We'll see game two on Thursday night, the only game on the docket. Another NBA record just set. Details coming up, Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.